Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. We're talking again to Dr. Stephen Wellum about his landmark new Systematic Theology, Volume 1. And we've been working our way through the introductory chapters. We're dealing now with Chapter 4, picking up about midway through that chapter. We've looked at the various contexts of interpreting Scripture, the immediate context. We've looked at the epical context. That was very helpful. Now we come to the canonical context of a given passage. Scripture was progressively revealed, but it is nonetheless a unified spoken word of God. So talk to us now about being biblical in that sense. And let's focus first on the more obvious one, and I think familiar one to people, the promise and fulfillment. Then we'll move on to typology.
Yeah, so I mean, as we look at reading Scripture, to be biblical, right, is to be faithful to Scripture, right? I mean, that's, so we're not trying to use it in some unique sense, but we're being faithful to the revelation that God has given to us. So that goes back to previous discussion on sola scriptura, divine revelation, the foundation of theology. We do not make things up, right? We have to say, what has God said? But God has revealed himself over time, so that we then have to see how the parts fit with the whole, right? So moving from books to later books, particularly in the Old Testament, to fulfillment. And eventually we have to, as readers of the entire Bible, right? The Old Testament, the New Testament is one unified revelation. It may have come to us over time, but we never pit those two testaments, right, tied to ultimately even the language of testament to covenantal structures, right, over against one another. All of it is the revelation of God through prophets, apostles, centered in Christ. So Hebrews 1, in the past, God spoke through the prophets, many times, diverse manners, but all of that revelation has come to culmination in Christ in the last days, so that the whole unified canon, of course, the canon is crucial. All of our theological conclusions ultimately have to be tied to the entire Bible, right? So you can't say you're biblical if you're just taking one portion and, you know, ripping it out of context and not seeing how it fits in terms of the wholeness of revelation. Now, we live, right, in as I like to say, the second best time in human history, because the greatest time in human history would be when Christ comes again. But we live now in this interadvental era, so that the Old Testament has been brought to fulfillment. There is, yes, more to come in the sense of there's an already not yet. Yet we now see how this revelation has been brought together, how promises earlier have been brought to fulfillment. And so that's why I wrestle with, in the canonical context, ultimately we have to draw all of our conclusions from a whole Bible, make sure we're consistent with it. But how does that canon fit together? And there's probably more ways I could have discussed, but I talk about the glue that holds the canon together. And I think the easiest way to see that is in terms of promise fulfillment. God has made promises. Those get tied to his covenantal promises. He's the promise-making, promise-keeping God. He is the covenant God. And those promises then unfold. And we have to see how they unfold in the Old Testament. So particularly, the most significant promise is there, God will provide a seed of the woman. Well, who is that seed of the woman? It's pretty broad. I mean, that could be anybody. In terms of Genesis 3, but as we work through the Old Testament and particularly the covenantal structures, we see exactly who that seed of the woman will be. It'll come from Abraham. It'll come from Israel. It'll come from Judah. It'll come from David, right? And then as the word revelation is given to us in the Old Testament, there's that's developed more. There's more precision to that. Well, this coming from David means king, but also there's going to be a priest, right? Psalm 110, going back to Genesis 14 and all of these areas. This one will come and will bring the new creation. So he's going to have the names of God. And all of that is unfolding that initial promise, which reaches fulfillment. And fulfillment, you know, fulfillment language in the New Testament can be a variety of things. You've written on that with, you know, Matthew 5 and areas like that. I mean, particularly in Matthew, I mean, it has this strong sense of prophetic and prophecies, anticipation of what the future is, has now come to pass. That to which the Old Testament pointed has now come in the person and work of Christ. So it's been